Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and I'm joined today by Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Practice at Mercator Advisor Group. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thanks.
All right, so today I wanted to talk to you about, in September, you had published a research report entitled The Evolution of Debit Cards. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of what's in the document?
Sure, absolutely. You know, what I wanted to do in this particular piece was to take a look at other products besides traditional debit cards that are also offering deposit account payment access. You know, I take a look at some of the products that may materialize in the future through, say, faster payment schemes. I take a look at some recently launched products that may also impact the market, and some of the decoupled debit products that are already in market, and they're also currently attracting transactions today that would typically be conducted on a bank or credit union issued debit card.
Oh, that's good. So one of the things I wanted to point out here in the report that you have is that, and I'm going to quote you here, in 2016, 12.8% of Target's sales revenue was conducted on the debit red card. And you put this is $8.9 billion in transaction value. And this share is up from 12.1% in 2013. Now, that seems like a little bit of a success story there. But then later down, you also got that Cumberland Farms Group, which is less than four years in, has processed nearly 2 billion purchases through their decoupled product and returned 75 million in rewards back to customers who pay using that product. So these two kind of sound like really a good success stories for decoupled products.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of sort of the secret story. I don't think necessarily that anybody's really paying attention to that. And it's not a huge percentage of the overall debit card marketplace, but it's growing enough that we need to pay attention to it.
So do you think that decoupled debit is going to start to pick up more market share?
You know, I really do think that there's an opportunity. You know, there are more providers offering decoupled debit capabilities. And, you know, merchants are getting a lot more savvy about utilizing loyalty platforms to impact sales. And that's really what decoupled debit is about. It's a payment option, yes, but it's just as much a loyalty platform. And it's particularly useful for those merchants with frequent and repeat business. So, you know, consumers have that opportunity because they're frequent shoppers. They can see their rewards build quickly. So I'd expect to see more programs with, you know, gas stations and grocery stores and quick serve restaurants as examples.
Oh, excellent. So you also point out that those earning more than $100,000 annually typically use credit cards over debit cards. So in your research, have you found that decoupled debit has kind of pulled back some of those users into using debit?
Well, you know, that particular consumer group, those earning more than $100,000 annually, are really motivated by rewards, which is why they're heavy credit card users, because credit card rewards are typically much richer than your normal debit card reward opportunity. So to the extent that, you know, programs like decoupled debit can offer meaningful rewards that are really on par or maybe even a little bit better than what they can earn with their credit cards, you know, this demographic is likely to be a target group for decoupled debit.
Interesting to note. You know, reading through the report, I think you correctly pulled out that many credit card users use their credit card kind of as a delayed payment for a debit card, essentially for the rewards. To be honest, that's really the way that I actually use my credit card. And you point out one app in particular called Toggle that kind of helps with the management of paying the credit card, you know, pulling from the checking account. Can you give us a little bit more information about the app and kind of how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I highlighted the Toggle product that's offered by Commerce Bank, but there are actually a few other apps in the marketplace that offer similar capabilities. And what this type of solution is about is where a consumer is offered a credit card, but then it has this associated application where the consumer can automatically select or uniquely identify which one of the transactions they've made on that credit card that will either be paid off automatically through their checking account, or which transactions they're going to leave on the credit card to accrue interest. So, you know, for example, I might want all my grocery purchases, you know, paid off right away with my checking account, but, you know, I might direct that giant new TV that I bought to continue to revolve on my credit card. You know, it really is, I think, a pretty consumer-friendly type of a product because it's one card for both sort of quasi-debit purchases as well as credit card purchases. And, you know, it offers consumers the opportunity to really concentrate their rewards onto one program. And also, you know, it's good for the user, the issuer as well, particularly those that are regulated on their debit card portfolios by Durbin. Because all of the transactions on a credit card are going to earn full credit card interchange.
Wow. Yeah, this definitely sounds like something I need to check out on a personal level here to start using this in my daily life. Now, there was a lot of really great tidbits in this report here, but one thing that really caught my eye was the request for payment. Can you give me a little bit more detail around that and some of the benefits of that?
Yeah, so a request for payment transaction is something that's developing as an offshoot of faster and real-time payment capabilities. You know, briefly how this works, you go to a merchant, you complete a purchase, and a merchant will send you a message, most likely through a mobile alert, saying to the consumer, here is the total amount of your purchases you have just made. And then the consumer authorizes that amount, and the merchant then goes and debits their checking account directly in real time or through a faster payments scheme. And all of this happens without the use of a payment card. So that potentially, you know, could have future impact on traditional debit card market share.
Oh, good to know. Good to know. All right, so shifting gears here quickly, you recently also published another report late in October entitled Doing Well by Doing Good, Delivery Models and Channels Serving the Financially Understood, that takes a look at the underbanked. And you pulled one thing that really kind of stood out to me is that you pulled out as Amazon as potentially being a player in this game to be able to provide bank-like services to customers. So my question really is that do you kind of believe with the announcement of the Amazon Cash Initiative in Mexico that they announced recently, do you kind of see that almost as a pilot program to how they could potentially bring that model to the U.S. and serve the underbanked in the U.S.?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, and you know, certainly I don't know exactly what Amazon's plans are, but I do think, again, you know, this is a particular company that we need to watch in regards to what their strategies are around payments. And yes, I think, you know, what they're doing, you know, with cash is very interesting. They have also offered the opportunity, and this one is in the U.S., for, you know, individuals who might be a part of the underbanked population but who are receiving benefits from federal or state government, social benefits, if you will, they can then receive a Prime membership for half of the cost of other individuals. They also have the opportunity where individuals don't need to have a credit or debit card in order to make purchases on the Amazon site. They can go through the Amazon Prime Reload solution, which is really buying Amazon gift cards and utilizing them to make purchases off the Amazon site, and those consumers would then also receive 2% off. So it really looks like Amazon is looking for payment options to sort of bring in the underbanked and unbanked into the whole Amazon phenomena.
Wow. Well, this has been great, Sarah. Thank you very much for your time. So if people are interested in learning more about these documents or speaking with you, what's the best way that they can get a hold of you?
The documents are posted onto MercatorAdvisoryGroup.com, and my information is out there as well, my email and phone number, and I would really enjoy some feedback on these reports.
Thank you for listening to the Payments Journal podcast. You can find the links to the reports mentioned in this episode down in the show notes. And if you're interested in being on the show, please reach out to us at info@MercatorAdvisoryGroup.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to keeping you up to date with the latest payment news.